It's a night out with my friends. It's a pedicure. There's all these things that I would like. And then what need is being met when I do those things, even just like looking at a list of needs and then being like, okay, I think of all of these two are something that I want to prioritize every month so that I feel good.
Hi, I'm Sarah Kuhn. Welcome to the Juno Women Podcast, where I sit down for candid conversations with women who are experts in their field and share their specific knowledge so that we can become better equipped to handle all things motherhood. Juno Women is an extension of Juna, a fitness and nutrition app created to help guide you through your trying to conceive, pregnancy, and motherhood journey. Everything we do at Juna is designed to empower and support you through one of the most incredible and challenging times of your life. Today, I'm talking with Elise Knox. Elise is a connection coach who specializes in helping moms find more connection and ease during motherhood. We talk about how to balance your own needs with the needs of your family and children. I hope you enjoy. Elise, I'm so excited to have you on the podcast today. So thank you so much for joining me.
Yeah, I'm so excited to be here.
So why don't you start by introducing yourself and telling us just a little bit about you and your area of expertise?
Yeah, so I am a mom and I used to be a middle school teacher. And when I became a mom, I knew that I wanted to. Being a middle school, a special education teacher was all consuming of time and energy. And I knew that I didn't want to do that while also raising my daughter. So I stopped teaching and just took some time off and had another daughter. And I also have had some health problems. I've had an autoimmune condition since I was 22 that was very unknown and mysterious. And so I found health coaching. And actually, before health coaching, I became a yoga instructor. And then I became a health coach and loved it was a functional medicine health coach training program. And I loved the kind of nutrition-y side for my own learning. But when I started coaching people, I found all I really loved to do was coach moms because being a mom and caring for yourself is really challenging. And so supporting moms through all phases of motherhood while also taking care of themselves is my passion. I then went on to do a life coach training program as well because I felt like I just wanted to be able to hold more. So many of the things that parents are dealing with are more than getting a good amount of sleep and eating the right things. And I did that, which allows me to just really hold space for all of the things that come up. Because what I think happens most in motherhood is we're just confronted by anything that that is unresolved in ourselves.
Yeah. It's interesting. Even as I'm hearing you talk through your experience, I'm like, so it's like a motherhood doula.
Yeah.
There's all these like doulas, like a deaf doula. And like there, and I kind of love how those things, like, because you need support with all of these different things. And I think motherhood is no different. And like, it's not a therapist, right? Like, there's just different aspects of motherhood that you need coaching through. And it's not parenting. How do you create a boundary for yourself with your kid? Like, those kinds of things come up. And even like when you have a newborn and you're just like in survival mode, like you don't know these things that are going to be coming down the pike, right? Like it is confronting.
It is.
I'm deep in it right now. How old are your kids?
So I have a 6-year-old and a 9-year-old and a 24-year-old stepson.
Wow. Okay. All right. So you've got ranging the span. I actually call like the 6 to 10-year-old like the real sweet spot.
What's so interesting is that I work, because of my work in a middle school prior to this, I also do coaching with teens as well as with moms. And this phase that you speak of that I'm in right now, I think is very, it's real for sure because I'm in it. And it sets some parents up for real challenge when their kids become adolescence because they're coming out of this easy phase and then they're like just cruising. And all of a sudden, and like the support that we need when they're little, we need that when they're in middle school too. And so
it's everything
like, and knowing as a parent, as a mom, that asking for support is like 100% okay, the right thing to do. And you should just do it, whether it's from a friend, a therapist, a coach, your mom, your grandma, whoever, do it.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess one of my questions is, like, what is, as you've been coaching lots of moms, like, what's the number one thing that you're seeing, like, women struggle with in motherhood?
Yeah, you brought up boundaries. And I think we can really lose, like, touch with that we need to care for ourselves first, because you can't. It's oversaid, but it's so true. Like, you can't pour from an empty cup. Yeah. And your cup is empty in different ways in different phases of parenting. When your kids are little, it's like physically sleep. And neither one of my daughters slept through the night until they were three. And I may have had another child if I could have been guaranteed someone who slept. I loved babies, but like, I didn't sleep for 6 years. And you never pee by yourself. You never, like, all those things, and you need them. Mm-hmm. And so it's like in that phase, it's asking for, like, figuring out what do I really need and how can I get support in that area.
Yeah. Because I think you hear it a lot, right? You can't pour from an empty cup. You have to make space for yourself, and you have to do self-care, and we just hear it all the time. I think the actionable steps to figuring out what you need is where the work is. And so, like, I know I'll use myself as an example, and I'm not great at this, but I do know that the one thing that I need to feel like a human being is to exercise. And that I always prioritize that through each baby. And it gets harder and harder with every baby. And every time you feel like you get into the groove, like, I'm like, okay, like, I always work out during my kid's first nap. But then all of a sudden you have a second kid, and your first kid is not napping when the second kid, like, it's just like every new kid brings on new adjustments and new schedules. And throughout I now have a almost 6-year-old, so it's been 6 years, I have figured out how, and it's changed a million times, but I figured out how to still prioritize that. But that's like one thing, right? Like, it's one thing. And I feel like had I said to myself, Sarah, it's also really important for you to get a pedicure once a month, like, my toes wouldn't look like I'm a total homeless person. And the thing, it's interesting because, like, these things are important to me. They just keep getting kicked down the road. And I feel like, why have I only prioritized the one thing? And what could I have done, like, earlier? Or what can I do now? That I'm like, okay, is it lists? Like, what should I do to be like, what's important to me, and how do I make sure that I'm doing it?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think exercise is something that touches a lot of different parts of your life, which is why you have always made the time for that. Because I'm the same. And I totally, the whole time you were talking, I was like, yes, yes. Because I learned that I can now do yoga at home. So I would just do yoga while they were napping. And then, like, I would put them in the stroller and I would go for a really long hike or whatever. Because that does help with my mental health. It helps with my physical health. It makes me, like, the endorphins, all the things. So with those other things that you're, like, they're not as high of a priority for you. And some of them, maybe, like, you do want to prioritize them. So I think it really is. I know time is something you don't have a lot of when you're a mom of little people. So you have to sit down and think to yourself, what is getting a pedicure? Because that's a strategy to get a need met. What does that bring you? What need is that meeting for you? And then if at the end of, like, your time sitting there thinking, okay, it's a massage, it's a night out with my friends, it's a pedicure, there's all these things that I would like. And then what need is being met when I do those things, even just like looking at a list of needs and then being like, okay, I think of all of these two are something that I want to prioritize every month so that I feel good.
Yeah, that's, I feel like that's actually, it's not the pedicure. It's almost like you should make a list of your needs. And so one, like one of the needs is getting space out of my house.
Yes.
Not with my children. And yeah, that's actually a good, it's almost like reverse engineering it. Like, and then there's obviously like other things that can meet that need. And so it's not always a pedicure. Maybe it's just like going shopping at Target by myself.
The other thing though about like coming from the need rather than the strategy to get your need met is that I'm assuming your partner is the one that you're going to, or if you have a babysitter or a parent or someone, if you say like to your husband, I need to go get a pedicure. And I don't know, my husband would has never gotten a pedicure in his life. And so he'd be like, he doesn't get that. But if I say I need space and I need peace and I need quiet, he's like I do X, Y, and Z to get those things. Like people can understand you on the need. They can't understand you on the strategy because they have a different strategy to get that need met.
We're going to take a quick break so I can tell you about the Juna app, the app that makes this podcast possible. Juna is the premier app for every stage of motherhood, with a 12-week trying-to-conceive plan and workouts, key nutrition information for every week of pregnancy and postpartum, plus 6 full video courses on birth prep, breastfeeding, newborn care, infant sleep, sleep from 4 to 12 months, and starting solids. The app is designed to be your number one companion from trying to conceive through your baby's first year of life. It also includes daily diaphragmatic breathing exercises, pelvic floor prep, daily tips, and notes from me that are relevant to the exact things you are experiencing. These are so helpful for easing any fears and preventing the dreaded gestational Google mania, that sickness where you can't stop Googling every little thing that happens during pregnancy. Juna is available for both iOS and Android. Just search Juna in the App Store or go to juna.co. Again, that's juna.co. The app is completely free to try for 7 days, and if you decide it's not right for you, you can cancel anytime within the first week. No questions asked. Download Juna today and get started. Now, back to the show.
Oh my God, that's beautifully said. I feel like that just, because it is really interesting. Like I think about, it's taken me 6 years, but every single time I like say, I need to do this, or I'd like to do this or whatever it is, my husband's supportive of it, but like it, I then spend the entire time feeling like I then dumped that burden on him. And I'm like, still try, I think that's like the like feminine, whatever, people pleaser, whatever it is. I don't want to be putting anything on him. And it's like, and really hard to be like, yeah, but that's not how he's thinking about it. Like when he needs to have a need met, like he has his need met. And, but I it's funny because like I just in like the last 6 months I've, on Sunday morning, I'm like, I'm going to yoga at 9. That's it. It's not a question. And it's, and he's like, of course you are. Yeah, sure. It's, I, it took 5 years of not doing that. And I'm like, what is going, this is what I want to do. I'm a present parent all the rest of the time. Like he is happy to be like, I'm going to go for a run. Same thing. Oh man, that's brilliant. I really.
And just a little bit more on that, based on what you just said, like the reason that it took you 5 years, part of the reason is as mothers in society, we're like the givers and the maker, like making everything okay. And so even when we ask for what we need, oftentimes it comes with, I've done this and this and breakfast is ready. And so I'm going to go to yoga now. And even the way that we ask for what we need is like listing the reasons why we should get it or deserve it.
I would deserve it.
And it's no, you just, you just deserve to go to yoga. And my husband is the same, and running is the same for him. And he just goes running. It's not, he's, hey, I like really, I did all these things, I need to go running. And so, yeah, like even the way we ask is showing that we're not sure whether we deserve it.
Yeah. And so it feels like there's a lot of baggage with that, though. I think that's steeped in the world that we were raised in. So do you have any advice on like working through that with yourself and figuring out like how to not do it?
Yeah, most of us probably never saw our moms do it. Or if some of us never saw our moms ask for what they truly needed, or when they did, they gave the reasons. And so it makes perfect sense that it's very challenging for us. And I think working through, okay, getting really clear on what your need is and just coming, trying to like, I deserve this. I don't need to give a list of reasons why. These are the needs that I need to meet. And just like really trying to get as clean as possible with our energy. It's still something that I, and my husband will sometimes say to me, like, why did you say it like that?
Yeah. Oh, so he's, I don't need to hear the reasons why. Just go do it.
And I'm like, okay. I really want to be on this call at this time. He's like, why did you say it like that? Do you need to be on the call? I'm like, yeah. He's like, then okay, bye. So it's a process. It's going to take time and practice, just like anything. It's a muscle that we have to build, and we can start if it's really hard for you to ask for what you need from others, start to meet your own needs, start to figure out what they are and find tiny little ways to meet your own needs. And then you can be like, oh, yeah, that feels really good. And then you can start practicing it on a safe person who's going to want to meet your needs and then expand from there to the point where you're where it comes more naturally.
So I'm curious, this may not be your area of expertise, but I'm just going to ask it because I know that a lot of listeners have children like my children's age. So I have a just turned two, a three-year-old who's almost four, and then a five-year-old who's almost six. And I really try and set boundaries of like with my own needs, and I'll use sleep as an example. My daughter, who's about to be four, is just an early riser, and it's gotten worse as she's still napping, going to bed later, and because she's still napping. And so she's going to bed at 8:30, waking up at 5:55. And we have tried literally everything with the green light, like whatever it is to keep her in her room so that we can sleep until 6:30, which isn't a lot to ask. I'm like, I am exhausted. When you come in at 5:45, I'm very unhappy. And so, and the thing is, I keep using the word with her. I'm like, Kyla, this is our boundary. If we need to lock our door to let you know that it is not okay to come in yet, like we are not awake yet, tell me, like, and so do you have any tips on, because it like, this is one thing, but there's a million other boundaries in which like parents are trying to like create space from them and from there. So do you have any tips for that are just like ignoring these requests?
Yeah, I think mornings are such a challenging one because like for so many reasons, but you don't want to start your day being frustrated with your kid. That doesn't start anybody's day. But if your kid is consistently waking up really early and like you have that boundary and that need, I'm curious if you've looked at, is she getting, some kids are just early risers too. One of mine wakes up really early and the other one doesn't, and they share a room. So one of them wakes the other one up. And that's a bummer.
Yeah, we were going through that too. We separated them.
That's nice. So is she getting the, like, is her sleep, like, is it time to cut the nap out? And then maybe that will just like looking, I like to start with the physical stuff first. Can I make a shift that would maybe change this?
We tried that. She went 2 weeks without the nap. And when I'm telling you that she became an absolute monster, we're talking like 5 to 6 knockdown screaming tantrums a day. And I was like, she's tired.
Yeah.
Not ready. Because, she also wasn't adjusting.
Yeah.
Like she would still go to sleep late and was sick. And I was like, I really expected her to start going to sleep earlier. We'd get her in bed. She would just not. She was like, she was keeping her brother up too. And anyway, but she was not adjusting her sleep. And I was like, okay, so now she's just losing the 2.5 hour nap. We tried reducing her nap, but like we have to deal with school on that front. And so like it's hard on, anyway, but yes, we tried doing that. That didn't work.
So like I have a friend who's one of her daughters just wakes up really early, and it's actually her older daughter and always wakes her younger daughter up, who's very grumpy. So not only like the mom is an early riser anyway, so it doesn't affect her as much, but it does the little sister. Some kids just wake up early And so can, like, a couple things I would ask you or try is, like, A, can your husband get up with her so you can sleep? Or is there something in her room that she could do that she would like to do that you feel good about her doing? Are you comfortable with her being awake without you? There's so many different aspects.
Yeah. Yeah, we do the, like, we, I will say, my husband and I take turns every other morning. It's someone's dealing with it. We walk her back to the room. We give her a coloring book. It's, I think part, she's our middle child and is definitely like middle child angsty. And I think part of it is that she's just like, I get alone time with mommy and daddy before anyone else wakes up? And that's really, that's the need she wants met. Yeah. And Kyla, and she's just, this is what I need, and I'm going to take it.
Yes.
And I'm like, part of me is just, this is like the, where it's like mindset too, where I'm like, maybe I need to just change my mindset because this hasn't changed. It's been going on for, I want to say 9 months, and it hasn't changed. The only person that's like, we're all unhappy with it. And so do I just be like, she wakes up early. She's not like, I'm not setting this boundary. So I need to just wake up with a smile on my face and enjoy the time that I get to spend with my daughter alone with any, without any other kids. Like, I think, am I there? Is that what I have to do? Because I think we would all be much happier if I just put a smile on my face and said, okay, here's our special time. We get 30 minutes in the morning before anyone else is up.
Yeah. So my question would be like, can you do that? What do you need to do to get there? And what thing could you guys do together that you would actually like truly enjoy? Because reality is a 4-year-old, like they don't understand. I have a boundary, which is I need to sleep and you're waking up too early. Even my like 6 and 9-year-old, they're also early risers, but like, my friends have kids who they're like, my kid sleeps till 10 in the summer, but they go to sleep at 10. And my boundary is my kids go to sleep at 8 every single 8:30 every single night, because whether it's summertime, weekends, school, because that's my time and my husband's time. And so I'm like, I have to be okay with them waking up a little early. Am I always super excited? No, it's something I work on. But that nighttime is like my time.
Let's be honest. One of the hardest and most unexpected things about postpartum was feeding myself nutritious foods. Between trying to figure out my baby's sleep and feeding schedule, trying to keep the house in working order, trying to keep myself bathed and functioning, there was very little extra time to go grocery shopping or to do meal planning and go cook for myself and the family. Enter Home Chef. They have simple and delicious meals for every day of the week. You can choose between the oven-ready meals, which I highly recommend, especially in the early postpartum period, to ready in 15 minutes. The meals are healthy, easy to make, and make the cleanup process easy peasy lemon squeezy. Use the coupon code JUNA115 to get $35 off your first box, $30 off the second box, $25 off the third and fourth boxes. Trust me, this will make your life 1 million times easier when you don't have to think about feeding yourself and your family. Once again, go to homechef.com, pick your meals, and use the coupon code JUNA115 to get $115 off your first 4 boxes. Enjoy!
I'm like, we get 1 hour because we go to bed early. We are early risers. So it's interesting. It's not that big of a deal. There's some mornings where it's 5:45. I'm already awake and she'll come in. But I just want 45 minutes to myself too, to just sit on my phone, scroll, or I'm reading a book in bed. And it's like my only time to be confronted with a 3-year-old who's going to get mad I didn't make her the right breakfast or just start making demands. I'm just like, ugh. So I think as I'm talking through it out loud, which has been very helpful, I'm like, I think I just need to be like, okay, this is our 30 minutes of alone time. You're not going to make requests of me. We're going to spend it together.
That conversation with her. Listen, this has been hard for me. I'm sure you've noticed. It's been an adjustment. But I want to make this time really special. So, like, how can we both work together to do that? Because she can't understand that. Like, she can't understand, no, like, you can't, no, like, I need to sleep until this time. She can't even read a clock. However, No, she can right. understand, oh, mommy wants to connect with me. But I like, mm-hmm. let's, we're going to do this. This is going to be special time, but I have to put some effort into.
I have to give something yeah. up too. And if that means that I can't ask for ice cold water until 6:30, then that means that I can't ask for ice
cold water. My 6-year-old sounds like your 3-year-old.
She's a very deeply feeling kid. And it has been really interesting because every parenting tool that I have learned and employed on my almost 6-year-old is like, they're so mm-hmm. ineffective mm-hmm. with her. Like they're just totally different temperaments, very different personalities, and need very different things when they're in an agitated or escalated or dysregulated state. And I'm like, oh, like all this learning that I've accumulated is not applicable. Yes,
it's so hard.
It is
hard.
They
come with such different everything. And like what worked, and that's something that we're doing right now with my youngest especially is like the fairness. And,
oh God. Yeah,
and so it's, I think I say like over and over, especially summer, they're both home. Like fairness is everyone gets what they need. Not everyone gets the exact same mm-hmm. thing. And she's still, that's something she's still working on, but they have really different needs.
Yep. Oh my God. It is. That is literally a script that we employ all the time. I'm like, in this house, everybody gets what they need. And it's funny, like my son who is almost 6, every time he starts with the, it's not fair. He like starts the sentence and then he goes, oh, you don't say that in this house. And then he just tries to find, it's like, it's funny because he just tries to find a new way to say it's uh-huh. not fair without using uh-huh. the word fair. And I'm like, you're missing the point.
I see you.
I do, but it is, it's so funny. And it's one, I think it's like probably one of the most common like things that every, it's, I feel like you see it everywhere. Like, how do you deal with kids that they want things fair? And I, do you follow Dr. Becky like at Good Inside? Uh-huh. Or no.
Oh,
okay. I love her. She's wonderful. Like she, I feel like I'm like get all of my parenting like advice from her, but she like employs the script and she's just, it's just, it is one of the most common things. Like kids are like built to compete mm-hmm. with their siblings, like for the mom. And so the desire to make everything fair is very real.
Yeah. And I think understanding something that I, when I coach parents is like understanding the developmental stage that your kid is going through. It doesn't make it easier, but it helps you to understand that they're not trying to be very difficult, even though that's how it feels. Like they are right. like their brain is learning that, and it takes a lot of repetition and all of those things. And I think with siblings, yeah, mm-hmm. the desire for and like the power struggle between the two of them and the younger one always like never being able to win or all those things are so hard as a parent and so important for them to grow to the next phase and the next phase and the next phase.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're talking very specific, but I think in general, all of these things that we're confronted with, especially in like the 0 or I would say 1 to 6-year-olds, like it is exhausting. And so do you have like any tips for avoiding getting burnt out and more specifically even like getting burnt out with your kids? I think I've hit a fatigue with my daughter with this morning mm-hmm. thing, and it's, and to your comment earlier, like nobody, like starting the day with that, it's the worst way mm-hmm. to start a day. I find like my patience is like much shorter, like for the, like when I've started a day with that, with being with that, I'm just like, it's harder for me to be a good parent, I feel like. And yeah, do you have any tips for avoiding those types of burnout? And
yeah, part of it is really looking at the thing that's causing you mm-hmm. to feel that way, in this case, every single day or most days. And really, I think that's the beauty of what coaching has taught me as a parent when I'm just like working with myself. Is okay, this is something that's happening all the time. What can I do differently? What can I test to see if I can change this? Because it's not working for anybody. And oftentimes, you need someone to bounce ideas off of or to even help you see how many times do you do the same thing over and over in not a helpful way, but like you just can't see outside yourself to realize there's an easier way. There's so many instances where I'll switch something and I'm like, whoa, I was doing that for 5 years and it didn't work. And now I'm doing this and it's so much better. So I think, and in some cases, like this situation with your daughter, it may not be that all of a sudden she starts sleeping until 6:30. It may be that you have to change. And maybe there's another area where, since you're doing this in the morning and you're changing this, like when she's napping, you take time for yourself during that time. Like, I think that's where, with parenting little people, it's little moments throughout your day that you're connecting to yourself, whether that's like a few deep breaths or like holding your hot cup of coffee and breathing, or tea and breathing in the smell, and just like being there in that moment. Because parenting through the 1 to 6 or 0 to 6 is you're just like constantly, it's just, you never have those moments. And I know for myself, oftentimes in that time, like when I did have a moment, I'd pull up my phone and scroll Instagram or something like that. And that's just putting more input. Like, you've been getting yelled at and peed on, and you're like feeding kids, whether it's from your body or you're in the kitchen, like so much coming in, so much going out. And so can you just take a few moments to like connect to yourself?
Yeah. I think when I think about Instagram and social media and like how so many moms, myself included, when I have like a minute, I'll just open my phone and start scrolling. And yet I really restrict my children's screen time, because I know what it does to their brain, but I also know what it does to my brain. And honestly, it's not like scrolling makes me feel good.
No.
The whole time I'm scrolling, I'm like, I'm feeling worse about myself, and I'm feeling worse about myself. And it's funny, my dad wrote a biography, and I have been reading it in my, because I literally have very, I think I told you, we're moving. There's a whole lot of things going on. So I have very little free time. And now, instead of every time I take a break, I'll just pick up his book and I'll get to read 3 to 6 pages. And I'm like, this is much better for my anxiety than just scrolling through my phone. And I like need to like keep reminding myself of
totally.
That because I'm just like, this is the input I need. I do not need the like dopamine hit of content.
And
right?
Like you go in whatever, like you're going maybe into comparison, or you go into, oh my gosh, I should be doing this, or whatever you go into, or just like absorbing stuff that's not helping you. And I love that. I also have recently really been intentional about making the switch, because I think I make the excuse like, I have an online business, so I need this. This is part of my business. But scrolling is not. So I've tried to make two shifts with my social media use. One of them is like engaging with like being social on social media. So I will like actually make a comment, and I will be like, what is speaking to me? And then the other thing for me too is, oh, like I have this amazing book that my friend just randomly sent me that I'm obsessed with. And I'm so excited to go read it right before bed. Why don't I read it in these 5 minutes that I have here and there? Because I feel like better. So yeah, it's being like, I think, so I'm from Northern California, and so I typically read, it's really funny, I'm like, a few years ago, I was like, I'm only reading like books that are going to make me like nonfiction, just very grow me in my business, like, getting smarter,
educating. Yes.
And so I totally stopped reading fiction, and then I'll here and there get a book and really enjoy it. So my friend sent me, I'm from Northern California, like Humboldt County, really far in the woods. And she sent me a book that was written like about where I'm from. That's a fiction book. And it's so fascinating. And like it's amazing. It's called, I don't even remember what it's called right now, but it's, I think, I don't know if you've ever read a book about like where you're from, but it's just,
I love,
watched a movie and you're like, oh my gosh. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Oh my God. What was it? Oh God. Oh, You, the show on Netflix. They where he killed his, it's been out for a while. So if you've seen it, if you haven't seen it, that's on you. Where he killed his first girlfriend was up in Lake Mampac, and that's where I'm from. And I just remember watching it. Yes. Being like,
Yeah,
that's fun. But you'll have to tell us the name. Like, we'll share in this whenever you remember yes. it.
It's actually sad, which is like something that I'm like, I don't typically, when I do read a book, I'm like not trying to read a sad book, but it's also very realistic mm-hmm. about logging culture where I grew up, and it's set in the 70s. Mm, and so okay. it's just so fascinating. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I'm always like, give me, I need books to read. I love it. Cool. Anything else that you think that we missed that's worth sharing?
I just really think that the most important, my Instagram handle is Elise Knox Connection Coach. I think connecting to mm-hmm. ourselves is the most important thing. I think Brené Brown says, like, you can only be as connected to others as you are to yourself. And I think motherhood, often that gets like completely lost because we're taking care of the needs of everybody else all the time. And so mm-hmm. finding out, obviously, we just talked about reading books for the last 5 minutes. So that's something that like I love to do. And whether I'm reading a personal development book or like this amazing novel, it's like really something for me. I like to journal. I like to meditate a little bit every morning. I like to breathe. Like, I like to do yoga. Those are my things that make me feel connected. Maybe a pedicure makes mm-hmm. you feel connected. Think of those things that give you that and figure out how to do them so that you don't lose. And it doesn't have to be a big thing. It can be 2 pages of a book, but it can be yep. taking 2 breaths outside. It can be having 2 sips of your coffee while it's warm. It can be whatever it is, but like, it's really important. And it's important from this stage and forever of motherhood.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's great advice. And thank you so much. Again, why don't you share where people can find you if they're looking for a motherhood coach?
Yeah, Elise Knox Connection Coach on Instagram, and EliseKnox.com is my website. And you can book a 30-minute free call with me, or just like, I make reels that are funny. And just, yeah, I love to connect and see how I can best support mamas.
Awesome. Thank you, Elise. This was so fun yeah. and helpful. I'll let you know. I'll report back and tell you how my 30-minute alone time with Kyla goes in the morning.
I can't wait. And sometimes it is. You mentioned, is it a mindset thing? Sometimes it is a shift in perspective. Okay, this is what we're doing. Yes. How can I make this? This is not my first choice, but this is what is happening. How can I make it enjoyable for both of us?
Yes, exactly. All right. Thank you. Okay, that's all for today. If you liked today's episode, please share it with a mama friend and leave us a review. If you're pregnant, postpartum, or trying to conceive, you can download the Juna app completely free for 7 days. The app is available for iOS and Android and is designed to be your guide for all things health and fitness for this very special time of your life. If you have any suggestions for episodes you would like to hear or anyone you think would be a great guest on the show, please email me directly at sarah@juna.co. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you next week.